Well, let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 19, please. Proverbs 19. While you're doing that, I'll just mention again that there's the marriage retreat in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, put on by Creston Valley Baptist Church, with the speaker being Pastor Eugene Epp from New Testament Baptist Church in Abbotsford. And the deadline for reserving is the RSVP. It's actually today. So just if you're going to do it, you want to do it now. So I've got the more information here. Okay, Proverbs chapter 19. When you find your place, if you're able to, we'll stand for the reading of God's Word. And we'll pick it up at verse 5. And we'll read down to verse 9. I'll read if you could just follow along. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. All the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul, but he that keepeth understanding shall find good. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we pray you would open up our eyes to your word here and help us to be convinced of the necessity for us to be people of the truth. Lord, that we would never knowingly lie. And if we have misrepresented something inaccurately, subconsciously, without even knowing, we pray that you'd help us to make it clear once we are aware of it. We pray you'd help those of us that have children, Lord, that you'd help us to have wisdom and knowing how to sense when our children are lying to us. Lord, how to deal with that, how to teach how you hate lying, Lord, to get that across. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So we started looking at this verse here, verse 5, and we see verse 5 and verse 9 are linked together. They both speak about the false witness. And the first says that the false witness shall not escape. The next, verse 9, says the false witness shall perish. God hates lying. He hates it. It's an abomination to him, as we're going to see. We spoke about how last week, that we are to be honest in word and deed, in what we say and what we do, our actions, completely honest, transparent. That familiar verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 17 says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, everyone, not just the brethren, but everyone, co-workers, the person at the store." I might have mentioned this before, but you know, I'm pretty sure I have. But we, you know, Emily and I, we had an incident where we thought we bought a battery at Costco. And Emily went through the line, even had help from someone at the tire shop to make sure the battery was okay, because it had some acid leaked on it from a different battery, and so you know, she went through there and she believed that she'd paid for it. And I sent her back a couple days later. She was already going up the hill, so I sent her with the old battery to get our $10 core fee back. You know, it's just what you do. They charge you the $10 up front, and then you get it reimbursed. And so she gets there, and they say, "Well, there's nothing on your receipt that says you bought a battery." Because we'd misplaced the receipt, found it later, but misplaced it. And Emily says, "Well, who cares? Don't worry about it. We don't have to look for it. The Costco has all the receipts on their till." And so they pull up our latest receipts, and they're like, "Well, you never bought one in the first place." "Really?" And we were sure. So Emily came home, and they told us. They said, "Just don't worry about it. Just go home." You know, that was the way they would respond. And I appreciate that's nice that they would they would respond that kindly, and they wouldn't like, security guard, this lady came took a battery last week. But we were determined that we were going to provide things honest in the sight of all men. And we went on our computer, we went through all of our statements and found the receipt. Sure enough, we didn't buy it. So we went back up there and bought that battery, paid for it, even though it was already in my van. And then I brought back my core. Okay, can I have my $10? That's part of being honest, being transparent. When you go through the till and she gives you too much change back for what you gave her, and you go, hey, you know what? You undercharged me by $10. There's been many, many times where it's like, did you actually charge me for this item? Oh, no, I didn't. You know, that's being honest. And, you know, with that battery issue, we had something come up later where it was a real blessing that we firmly believed God gave us, and we linked it right back to being honest, faithful, upright with the battery issue. So the Lord does bless. We can't look at ourselves as going, well, I had this opportunity to have pocketed an extra $100 and now it's gone. No, the Lord blesses. We talked last week about exaggerating details, and I gave the example of a World War II campaign, and how during that campaign it was a campaign with spies basically, and trying to get misinformation. And once the Germans bought into it, then their people started exaggerating what the British had even said in the first place, we got to be careful that we, as believers, do not exaggerate details, that we are factual. And if we are not, if we're unaware of the details, that we don't make presumptions. We've got some of our children are famous for making presumptions, and we'll say, no, is that what you saw? Is that what you heard? No, that's what might have happened. I'm not interested in what might have happened. I want to know what you heard or what you saw. So we got to be careful not to exaggerate details. We talked about not being a talebearer, not being a gossip, not being the one that's always wanting to be the first one to carry news. You know, Proverbs 18:8 says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. A talebearer. And you know, bearing a tale, oftentimes we think of it as being a false tale, but often it actually could be true. It might be true. You might have news that somebody had a miscarriage, or someone had something, you know, very difficult go through their life. And you might say, well, did you hear? Wait a second, is this news? Is this something that is supposed to be shared with others? So many of you that know me will know that if you have a situation come up, I'll usually ask you, is this something you want to share with the church family? And I've found by experience that it's usually good to ask, if it's a husband and wife situation, if it's a couple, it's usually good to ask both. Because there's been times where I have shared information, and then one of the spouses said, we weren't really actually going to share that. Oh, well... left in the middle. So it's we gotta be very careful not to share information that is not ours to share, not to be a tale bearer, because the words of a tale bearer are as wounds, Proverbs 18:8. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Again, I mentioned last week that sometimes I'm guilty of being the opposite, where I don't tell news, and it's because I feel like, well, that's your news to tell. If you want to tell it, you tell it. Sometimes maybe it's something I ought to bring forth or bring forward, but being a bit of an overreaction. Let's take a look at some things, some factors about lying. Okay, let's look in Leviticus chapter 9, verse 11. I mean, we could even go back further into the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. I mean, right there, we have laid out for us very clearly in Exodus 20, verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. So Leviticus chapter 19, verse 11. Leviticus 19, 11. Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. God hates lies. It's forbidden. Forbidden. There's no wiggle room. It's forbidden. And you know, people will sometimes will say, well, if it's forbidden, then why did God bless certain people in Scripture when they lied? Why did he bless Rahab when she lied about the spies? Why did he bless the two midwives that lied about the women, the Jewish women being lively and giving birth ere they reached them, as the scripture said? The fact that God blessed them doesn't mean that he condoned their lies. He condoned the fact that they were supporting his people. But we have to compare scripture with scripture. And if God condoned the lie, then his word is not true. Then when he says that thou shalt not lie one to another, then we have to add inferences only under certain circumstances. No, we're not to lie to anyone. We're supposed to provide things honest in the sight of all men. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. It's okay to lie if people are being unfair to me. No, it's not okay to lie, even then. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're a new person, a new creature in Christ, and you're supposed to have cast off that old man, tossed it. Some of you ladies, maybe men, I don't know, are into raising this kombucha stuff, that fungus or whatever that ferments the, makes a vinegar drink, a non-alcoholic, it's a vinegar drink, like a cordial or whatever, but it has the probiotics in it. And, you know, Emily's got one of those, and yesterday she was peeling off the old parts, the front and the back of this thing, of this fungus. And I was like, ew, that's disgusting. And I said, are you sure you're getting the right side? And she said, no, it grows from the center out. And she showed me the two sides that were kind of old and shriveled. And when you think about the old nature, where to cast it off? Just as that went in the garbage, the old nature is supposed to be cast off. Well, lying is one of those things. You know, for those of us that have children, who are raising children, we have to be so careful that we, first of all, live an honest lifestyle ourselves. That as my dad has said many times over and over, children are sponges. And you can't just say, okay, now we're gonna have a teaching moment, and then later on, okay, so teaching's done. I'm gonna live the way I want to. I'm not gonna, you know, the whole thing about doing what you say. And so children are watching all the time. So parents must be honest, must be transparent, and then they must raise their children in that manner. And those of you that parents know how sometimes it can be hard, where you think, you are sure that a child is lying to you. Something is, maybe it's, you know, the Holy Spirit speaking to you and you're saying something's not right here. I believe my child is lying to me. Maybe it's the facial expression. Maybe it's the quick way in which they say it, the nervous behavior, or something, some other corroborative evidence that you have. But then, but at the same time, even though your spirit says they're lying, sometimes you don't have absolute proof. Sometimes you can't say for sure. And I mean, many, many times where I've been in a situation, I'm in the middle of it, and I'm like, Lord, help me, give me discernment. And sometimes the Lord makes it so that they say something where it's clear, okay, see, you were lying. Or someone else comes in and says, yeah, I saw it. This is what happened. Then there are other times where you don't have anything to go on. And on one hand, you as a parent, you've told them, you've insinuated that you believe they're lying. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, so how if I just let this go and they are lying, what is that going to teach them? That it's okay to lie as long as you get away with it? So my approach has been that if I am not sure, but I believe that a lie has been committed, but I cannot be for sure on it, and I do not feel that there's not enough grounds to punish, then I will say, quite often I will say, I believe that you're lying, but I do not know that for sure. I'm going to pray that God will burden your heart about this. And that way they realize that there's even a greater power that's now in the picture, and that I am not countenancing their sin, if indeed they sinned. I'm not letting it slide, but that I am going to pray that God would burden their heart. And you know, that has worked. That has worked many times. And later they've come back and said, you know what, yes, I was lying. And many of you that are, you know, you can look back in your own life as and say, yeah, I remember when I went through a time when I was given to lying, and I can say that of myself. And I know how difficult it can be to get out of. You feel like you're stuck in a web. You've created these different lies, and now you're kind of stuck, having to kind of keep perpetuating the lie. So as parents, we've got to be careful. We've got to be wise. We've got to seek God's help and pray. And when you're in a situation like that, when you're trying to discern right from wrong, truth from falsehood, pray. Just say, okay, Lord, lead me. Show me what is the truth. I mean, you've got the perfect example of Solomon there. How he was led by the Holy Spirit to when that case, the one woman says, this is my child, and the other one says, no, this is my child. And God gave him insight to put them to the test. So lying is forbidden. And so let's not allow it in our homes. And it starts with us. It starts with us. You know, it's sometimes we're trying to enforce over and over to our children to understand, if you mess up and you break that cup, you might get scolded for not being careful. You break that cup and you lie about it, things have just gotten a whole lot worse. And so we try to enforce the fact that, I mean, lying is way worse than a mistake, than a, you know, dropping a cup, or even some of the other sins that I'm thinking of, actual other sins that a person might commit. Lying is something that God hates. Let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 6. It's one of the abominations. And when God says something's an abomination, we need to perk up our ears and pay attention. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord hate, even, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that speaketh discord among brethren. So in there we've got seven things mentioned. And you've got a lying tongue mentioned as point number two. And then you've got further on in this passage, I think it would be point number six, a false witness. that speaketh lies. So the lying tongue, why do we lie? Usually it falls into two categories. You could say three, though. One being that we are trying to get something that we don't deserve. Something that we don't deserve. Lying to get money, to get popularity, to get fame. Two, to get out of something that, to get out of the consequences of our sin or a mistake. I mean, not all mistakes are sin. The other day I was using my chop saw and I don't know what was happening. I was having some real moments. And I cut two boards too short. And you know, when you cut a board too short, that's a mistake you can't go back on. You know, you don't glue stuff together, especially if it's like trim and molding and stuff like that. You know, and that happens to us in life. We do things that are mistakes. That's not a sin. But now let's say I was a worker and I cut that board and then I said, well, that's the size it came. You know, and if I lied about it, then there's a problem. That is a lie. And then the third category being, as far as why we would lie, to get others in trouble. The false witness that we see here, to get others in trouble. Let's not go for any of those. Let's be people of truth. Let's not bear false witness. Let's not try to receive something that we don't deserve. Let's not try to get away with something that we deserve punishment for, even if it's something simple. I gave the example last week of how driving one of our ambulances, our rapid response units, I backed into an 18-inch pole that I could not see in our mirrors. And I mentioned how in 19 years of working EMS, that was the first time I'd done any damage to a vehicle. That really bothered me. And you know, I wrote it up, I did a statement, and since then I've checked my email quite regularly to see if they had any words of wisdom. They hadn't said a word. Not a word. You know what? That's just being honest. You write it down, you document, and I mean if they call me into the office and say, hey, you need to be more careful and whatever, that's fine. I will take whatever they lay out. But we've got to be honest. So it is an abomination. These seven things, see, verse 16. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Similar verse, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22. Proverbs 12, 22. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. If something is an abomination, it means that he hates it vehemently. And if God hates something vehemently, I don't want to participate in it. I don't want to be anywhere near it. I don't want to even be sort of close to it. I want to be as far away as I can from that abomination. And you remember, he sees all. He sees everything. He hears everything. He knows your heart. He knows the motives. He knows what you countenance in your heart. From a practical point of view, Isaiah chapter 59, we see that lying is a hindrance to prayer. Isaiah chapter 59. Do you want a hindrance to prayer? I certainly don't. I want to be able to go and pray to the Lord and have sweet fellowship with him and have direction from him and guidance. Isaiah 59, 1 through 3, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perverseness. Your lips have spoken lies. Lying is a hindrance, just as any other sin is a hindrance to prayer. I think of John chapter 8, verse 44. We see the father of lies. that conversation there between Christ and the Pharisees, and Christ said that if you know the truth will make you free. And they got upset, and they said, well, we're not bond servants. We're not slaves. We are free men. We're sons of Abraham. And then later in that chapter, Jesus says, no, you're children of your father, the devil. And he says in John 8:44, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You think of, sometimes you see those mirrors where you get into the middle of a bunch of mirrors, and it can be deceiving where the true person is. If you're like the person on the outside and you're looking in, Satan, he is so good at making something look true that is not true. He is the father of lies. Let's take a look at the book of Acts. Familiar passage? Ananias and Sapphira. We just looked at this passage for our family devotions. Ananias and Sapphira. Acts chapter 5. So Satan is the father of lies. And we see also that Satan moves people to lie. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not in thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Now this is an interesting passage, isn't it? Because we know this is kind of a transitional period with the apostles and the disciples. They were selling a lot of their possessions, including, as we see here, their land. And then they were giving it to the apostles, and the apostles were then distributing as was needed for the people that had needs, that needed food, and they had all things common. Now we see later in Acts and the other epistles that these same people then later did purchase lands and houses. So it was a temporary thing. I think it was because the Lord knew that he was going to work mightily in this church at Jerusalem, and then he was going to disperse them. He was going to send them abroad. And if they didn't want them to be tied down by lands and everything. But you know, verse 4 here is a pivotal verse. If that verse was not there, that would radically change our understanding of this passage and how we're supposed to live. Because if verse 4 wasn't there, we might think that we are supposed to sell everything we have and that we are supposed to give it all to God's work. But the issue here was not that Ananias and Sapphira kept back part of it. Peter said, that was your land. When it belonged to you, it was yours. When you sold it, the money that you received from it, it was yours. The issue was that Ananias and Sapphira presented it as if they sold their land and gave all of it. There was a lie here. And it might have come across as an incomplete truth, but in the sense of it, at the core of it, it was a lie. They said, this is everything. And so the issue was the lie that they said, not how much they gave, how much they kept. And he says here, thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. So you notice there in verse 3, Peter says to Ananias, why hath Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Satan filled thine heart. Satan moves people to lie. Now, at the same time, how many of you parents have asked your child, why'd you do this? Satan made me do it. No, you've got to take responsibility for what you did. What we understand from Scripture, and we think of James chapter 1, where James talks about when we sin, when we're tempted. James chapter 1, verse 13, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." What we understand about sin is that we have that sin nature. Even after we trust Christ as our Savior, it's still there. We're a new creature in Christ, but the old nature is still with us. And it has as much power over us as we will give it. And so Satan works with that old nature against us. And he's the one that's poking the old nature. He knows our weaknesses. Just as God knows our weaknesses. Just as God knows our strengths. And so Satan uses those lusts, and he pushes us to follow our own lusts. But just like Adam and Eve, they are responsible for their sin. And so if I sin, yes, certainly Satan might have had a part in it, but I am responsible for the action that I took. So yes, he is the father of lies. I mean, we see him lying to Eve in the garden right off the bat. And he's done it ever since. Believers are to hate lies. We saw that God hates lies. Well, we are also supposed to hate lies. Psalms chapter 119. And here we see the replacement principle, that we're supposed to hate lies, but we're supposed to love the truth. Whenever we get rid of something, we need to replace it with something good. If we go through our bookshelf and we eliminate books that we feel are not God-honoring, or music, we should replace it with something that is good, something that is God-honoring. So Psalms 119, 163 says, "I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love." Thy law do I love. You know, God's law is the only thing that we can know is true. You think of Pilate, when Pilate said, "What is truth?" to Jesus. Key question, what is truth? Well, it's right here. It's right here in the Word of God. Proverbs 13:5 says, "A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame." So a righteous man hateth it. Now, that being said, sometimes people will lie to us. And we might say, well, I've got grounds to hate what they just did. Well, you also have to remember that we are to forgive them. I mean, you know, when the apostles, the disciples said to Jesus, "How many times do I forgive my brother?" 7 times? No, Jesus said, 70 times 7, meaning infinity. So, yes, we're to hate lying in ourselves. We're to hate, if we are to lie, and of course, if we're parents, we would hate it in our own children that they would also abhor lying, and that we would abhor their lies. But if someone wrongs us and lies against us, we need to give them grace. We need to forgive them. And you've probably been lied to many times. I know I have. And you catch someone in it, and it's like, that's sad. That breaks trust. But at the same time, you know what? I'm going to forgive them. It might impact how much trust I have for them in the future. And I'm going to be careful. But I'm going to forgive them. I'm not going to allow myself to become bitter, harbor bitterness in my heart. Okay, well, let's close for a roughly 10-minute break here. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we pray, Lord, that we would be people of honesty, of truth, that we would speak truth, that we would search truth out in your word. Lord, it's the only place that we can be absolutely sure we will find truth. Lord, there'll be shades of truth in other areas, Lord, in other books, and Lord, well-meaning authors might be seeking to display 100% truth, but based on our limited knowledge and our own shortcomings, Lord, sometimes there's inaccuracies. But your word is truth. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to abhor lying. Lord, help those of us who are parents to be so careful with our children that we live a life that's honest before them, and that we show them the error of lying, and Lord, that we follow up with it, and that we do not allow it in our home. We ask that you'd be with our next service, our morning worship service, that you, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.